This episode of So What Do We Do is sponsored by FaxZero.com. Send faxes for free online.
With just one click from FaxZero.com, you can send a free fax to your congressperson or senator or, wait for it, governor. That's right.
Wow.
They already have the numbers there, automatically filled in, and you can get in touch with your elected representatives without using a phone. Give them a piece of your mind. With the facts.
Thank you so much, FaxZero.com. And now, the podcast.
Don't you feel like our democracy's not dealing like we used to see?
It's news to me, some truths to be enabling this mockery.
It's human and it's history.
Communication is the key.
Now come on, you can talk to me. So what do we do?
Hello and welcome to So What Do We Do?
I'm Storm, the Roman candle of justice explosion.
Wow.
Tomorrow's the 4th of July.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or this today, for most people.
Yeah, that's right. It's okay, so I'm Angela Azar, and I am a patriot person. What was the... I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. That's the one.
Oh, sure, yes. Born on the 4th of July.
It's all me. I mean, I wasn't born on the 4th. I had already been born by the 4th of July, so... But in the year after I was born. So in a way, I was born on the 4th of July.
My heart was born on the 4th of July. I actually was born without a heart. And
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it was like, gosh, I was born in October. So that was a good 9 months before I actually had a heart. So.
Wow. But that explains a lot, I guess.
Oh, God. Yeah. God, yeah.
Why you take advantage of your heart so much. Why you really appreciate having it.
I do, and yet it's not really a part of me. So,
so it's a cyborg heart, or is it a? What's the situation there?
It's a real heart. It's a real heart.
Okay.
I got a real heart.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I believe you.
No. I was doing a little Jonathan Colton joke that I think.
I got it.
Oh, good.
It's not a real heart. It is a real artificial heart.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
So apologies to you who hasn't heard the song Artificial Heart by Jonathan Colton. We recommend it. I recommend it. I can't speak for
you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like anybody who listens to this podcast has probably ever heard of Jonathan Colton.
No, I don't think.
That's a recommends from So What Do You Do?
What do we do?
So what do we... Yeah, you have 4th of July plans that you're currently doing right now?
Yeah,
Because it's 4th of July?
I do have plans. For the past 8,000 years, Mrs. Storm and I have gotten together with our friends Richard and Michelle and their kids, Robert and Dee Dee, and do the thing. We actually went fireworks shopping like we do every year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, here in Virginia, you can buy kind of your level one fireworks, so stuff that doesn't fly up into the air for the most part. Doesn't mean you can't maim yourself or burn things down. At least, you know, you're not gonna catch the neighbor's stuff on fire quite so easily.
Nice.
So that's kind of my thing. You out in, are you LA permanent like now?
I am Portland right now.
Okay.
Just for less than a month. Oh God. We got invited to some stuff. And we may go or we may not. We have complicated feelings about America and also leaving the house right now because my dear spouse is a little bit sick.
Oh.
So we may go walk down to they shoot off fireworks over the river in Portland, so you can go stand on the bridges and see it, and they close them to traffic. It's really cool.
That's curious to me. That you almost feel like you should not be celebrating the 4th of July because you're having mixed feelings about the country.
Well, everybody who's invited us to stuff are people we don't know super well. So it's a kind of like a what level of discussion do I really want to get into? And it feels like a time when those discussions will happen, at least with the people who we would see. So,
I
don't know.
That's interesting. I'm not gonna prod at you more on that. But
no, that's okay.
It's because I find that most of the people that I know and hang out with are like-minded. And that I find it rare that I run into those situations though I sort of did this past weekend.
Yeah. Where you run into some, I think they're, it's not that they're not like-minded people. It's just folks who, and I think we've all experienced this a little bit recently, who think that the current political situation is a little funnier than I think it is. and it makes me feel a little weird to be around those people right now.
So you feel that they don't really see much hazard, that it's more or less, you know, it's annoying, but
yeah,
nothing to be particularly concerned about, or that one should actually do anything, that it'll work itself out. Yeah, I know plenty of people like that.
Yeah. But that being said, we might find ourselves at a nice friendly barbecue or at, I don't know, we'll see. How do your cats deal with the fireworks?
They seem to be, fine with it. Things were usually out. And also, there aren't a lot of loud fireworks immediately around where we are. I mean, obviously, not obviously, but we live about, 15 minutes from the Washington Monument where they set off the big D.C. fireworks. They get freaked out before and around, like, thunderstorms, but I don't think it's from the sound. I think it's like they're sensitive to the atmospheric pressure. And the fireworks here do not, I think, mess with the atmospheric pressure quite to that degree.
Oh. That sounds like your cats have superpowers.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, that just scrapes the surface. That can be that can be one of the news relievers in maybe we'll switch roles in a future week, and you can do the news and I'll do the the happy relief part.
Yeah, talk about your cat's superpowers.
Well, by the way,
great.
I thought of you today. Yeah. Of you today because I was on hold with my bank of all places, one of my banks, and on the hold it was cycle hold music jazz whatever. And then every once in a while, the voice comes on saying, "Hey, sorry that you're in purgatory like this." You know, there's that voice that comes on. And this voice came on and said, "Hey, holding is never a good thing unless you're holding a cute animal." So literally said that. And I laughed and I thought about your little moments of relief for the news. So thanks for the cheeriness, because
that makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. All right. Speaking of which, are we ready? Do you think we can do it?
All right. Honestly, it's not any worse than it's been. I'll go ahead and say it's the there's a lot that's happened, but it's the normal level of bad. So what?
It's not good.
I've got five blocks this week.
All right.
Most of them have a handful of little headlines.
Okay.
The first block is titled "Attack on Healthcare / Dismantling of the Government," and this is actually more good news than bad. I'm actually starting on a relatively high note.
Okay.
Your headlines are: Republican senators hit by calls from voters worried about Obamacare repeal bill. And that ties directly to the next headline, which is "Vote delayed as Republicans struggle to marshal support for health care bill." So that's part one of this.
Good calling, everybody.
Yeah, it really does work, especially when it's concentrated the way it has been over the past week or 10 days. And that ties to the next headline in this block, which is "The GOP healthcare bill isn't dead." Remember that they've been doing all of this behind closed doors. There's no information to be had except for little whispers that get out. And those whispers are saying they're going to find one way or another to do it. But the last headline is "Protesters to hold GOP senators' feet to the fire over health care." So that's what I got. And the dismantling of the government part, not sure why I tied that in there. Well, that's because
you tried to sneak it in.
it's sort of an overarching theme. Even when they don't pass things just by attrition, they are dismantling the federal government. And that has a real effect that people aren't going to see yet. But that's a little off topic. So that's what we have there, that it's been beaten back, this dismantling that is the AHCA, but it ain't over yet. So what is the theme of the dread offsets for the week?
This week's theme is holidays because it's the 4th of July today. So I thought we would go into, I think we've all heard of like these sort of made up holidays, like it's Donut Day or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I went and dug a little bit deeper and found holidays that actually have a little bit of an origin story, but are still a little bit weird. And I'm going to start with a more established holiday, which is the International Day of Friendship, coming up on July 30th. This is a day of friendship that it goes back to 1919 in the United States. The country of Paraguay was the first one to celebrate on a national level in 1958. And in 2011, the United Nations declared this an official international day
now,
to be celebrated annually.
From your research, are there particular rituals or symbols that go along with this? Or is this more of a, hey, you know what? This is the day where we're really going to think about and work on friendship.
Well, I'll tell you, I found this website that is clearly sort of maintained by, like, somebody, you know, just like a person. And the copy on this website makes me so happy that, like, doing this research really brought me a lot of joy. So I will tell you what this person says to do on the International Day of Friendship. On an individual level, use this day to promote friendship in big and small ways. You can begin by extending an olive branch to a sibling or family member, a neighbor, an old friend who we've had a falling out with. If we all try just a little, the world will be a friendlier, more peaceful place.
Well, if ever this international day of friendship were needed, I would say it's now across all dimensions. All dimensions. All of them. You can't count
also,
them.
Also, I have no idea what the origin of this is, but according to this website, the recipe of the day is lima bean salad. So keep that in mind.
Well, that's interesting. Well, I do know that the town of Lima, I don't know how they pronounce it, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Was named for the city of Lima in Peru, I think for the health benefits of lima beans. I'm getting it all mixed up, but it's there's some truth in there. I'll do my research.
And that was in the spirit of friendship, which is important for us all to remember because lima beans make us more friendly.
They do because they're great if you like them, and I do.
Wonderful. Well, I've got more holidays coming up, even much stranger as they go on. So,
good.
Let's get back to the news so we can get back to the holidays.
Because I got four more blocks of news. Now, do you want to go straight into the heart of things? Because I have one more that's kind of good. Do you want to save that up like a butterscotch for the end of the day, like you do?
Sure. Yeah. Let's get the hard stuff over with.
Okay. All right. This block, it's only two headlines, is headed under "The right is almost entirely untethered from facts."
Oh, gosh.
And this isn't a new thing, but here are your headlines. Number one, White House urges viewing of anti-CNN video, whether it's accurate or not. Just do it. So that's number one. And number two, headline, collusion is not a crime. Trump's media allies have a striking new talking point that experts say is flawed and absurd. And I could have picked another three dozen headlines that would have fit under this heading. But it is part of the disturbing trend that feeds into a lot of the other things that are happening, that if you can set up alternative facts, a different reality, that it's could be very powerful for doing a lot of nasty, wasty things. So what kind of holiday could possibly stand up to the encroaching terrible that encompasses attacks on the press and simply calling peaches stairs?
I'm gonna go to this one because it's my favorite. August 8th. Which is National Sneak Some Zucchini Onto Your Neighbor's Porch Day.
Wait, I'm sorry. Either I didn't hear you well or my brain wouldn't process it. One more time, please.
Absolutely. August 8th, National Sneak Some Zucchini Onto Your Neighbor's Porch Day.
Okay, I didn't hear it right the first time, but I'm still pleasantly mystified. So sneak some zucchini onto your neighbor. Okay, this one makes sense to me, but please go ahead.
Yeah.
What is this about?
Well, the headline on the Farmer's Almanac website, announced, Zucchini Fertility Spawns Annual Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
This is just when you've grown so much zucchini,
yeah.
You have too much, and you don't want to throw it away, so you wait till the dead of night and you take the zucchini and you go put it on your neighbor's porch. So now it's their problem.
I wonder.
They can't get rid of it.
Oh,
it's
sure.
It's their burden. It's a curse.
I'm just wondering. There are, gosh, I'm not coordinated enough right now to actually look it up to see what is the most gardening city in the country or North America. Is there a place basically it would just be everyone, you know, shifting their zucchini one to the left? Or does everybody sneak their zucchini onto the same poor neighbor's porch? And there's one guy who basically gets to build a hut outside out of zucchini.
I don't know. I feel like every possible scenario, though, is kind of wonderful.
Oh, sure.
It's an attack of kindness and giving, trying to overcome the politeness, like the ability to politely turn down a gift of zucchini. It just makes me really happy. And I saw it on this holiday site and I was like, that's not real. And then just found like actual news stories about it, which makes me just so happy.
I might have to observe that one. We didn't grow zucchini this year, but I don't know. I might buy some just to sneak it onto my neighbor's porch. They like zucchini. They like it.
I like the idea of this holiday happening and people just getting really confused and somebody Googling it and being like, whoa, this is a holiday I didn't know about.
Right, and then they feel guilty about not bestowing zucchini by way of sneakage to their neighbor.
Yeah. Just so you know, some zucchini facts and tips, mm-hmm. which I'm sure you were wondering.
I am.
Not all zucchini are green.
Hmm.
Claremore yellow is gold. Not all zucchini are cylindrical. Some of them are round.
Interesting. Yep. You know what? I have seen the globes. I have seen the yellow zucchini and have eaten it, and it's quite delicious. It actually has a distinct flavor from either yellow squash or green zucchini.
Well, you're welcome, everybody. Now you know about what is it called? National Sneak Some Zucchini Onto Your Neighbor's Porch Day. You've got a whole month until August 8th. So,
see, the day after is Sneak Some Zucchini Bread Back to Your Neighbor Day, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. And then sneak some ice cream that you made out of the zucchini bread back onto your neighbor's porch.
Yeah.
And then it's all just goes on forever.
Yeah, it's a never-ending zucchini spiral.
Like when you spiralize zucchini, you turn it into pasta.
Exactly, with that terrific device, probably from Ron Popeil.
Okay. Enough about zucchini. I mean, never enough, but let's talk.
All right, it's good we're buoyant because we're diving into the heavy stuff here, and it's one of my least favorite things to talk about that I feel like needs to be talked about. It is being talked about under this heading, four headlines, of rise of violence and roots of fascism. And yes, that sounds very serious. The first headline is Trump tweets video of him body slamming and punching CNN. I can't imagine anyone has not seen that and heard hours of discourse about it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, a chilling National Rifle Association ad gaining traction online appears to be an open call to violence. And the summary of this is that spokesperson of the NRA casts all dissent and protest as basically terrorism, and that the solution to that for saving our country from them requires a clenched fist. And this was delivered in a very angry and scared voice, and very angry, scared face. So that's number two. Mm. Number three, Portland Republicans to use militia for security as far-right rallies continue. And number four is, I'm actually term it resistance, and it's Barack Obama urges world to stand against aggressive nationalism. And I've grouped these together because a lot of things are happening that with greater frequency that I don't believe should be just dismissed as individual incidents. There are headlines about these, quote, road rage, unquote, incidents where it is usually a white male and often a female who is not white. Sometimes death is involved, not of the white male. And that it does appear to be a growing trend. and that the National Rifle Association thing is particularly troublesome in that this is a major national organization. This is not an alt-right, neo-Nazi, white nationalist fringe group, but it's certainly starting to sound like one, and it's one that has a lot of clout and allies. So, you know, we're not there yet, folks, and I wouldn't say we're even close, but when you start to see things like this, you know, those of us who are in the middle somewhere, and certainly on the right in the middle, to continue to deny that there is this undercurrent, this idea that any dissent just needs to be shouted down or shot at, is it needs to be recognized and confronted, and it can't just be confronted from the likes of us. So,
yeah,
that's where that is, and I do believe that the timing of Barack Obama's statement has come in this environment, and I don't think it's coincidental that he would make comments like that that were not explicitly directed about the United States, because it is something that is happening around the world, and it's not just these violent incidents that, you know, would lead him to say that sort of thing, not by any means. But I believe that, you know, a yellow flag is up. So I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it, Angela?
I am scared and mad. I don't know. I've got some in our discussion topic today. I want to talk about democracy a little bit, but I don't know. I'm not prepared to answer how I feel about.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Let's go with the offset, and we'll get there in the discussion.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a few of them. August 24th, Vesuvius Day. I mean, that's a big disaster. So that's just kind of a little transition into our holiday.
I'm confused. Is that a holiday for everywhere or just if you're in Italy?
You know, it doesn't say whether, I mean, I think all of these are pretty much just fake, so whatever. But, you know, August 24th, apparently, in 79 AD is when Mount Vesuvius exploded. And I feel like you could think about it no matter where you are.
Yeah, we all know what they're talking about. Let's just go with it. All right.
Sure. July 15th, coming up, Cow Appreciation Day.
Yeah, cows.
My favorite thing about this one is that the person who maintains this site wrote, "As I began my research for this day, I talked to my daughter about plans for this page. I was intending to comment in a nice way about everything that cows give us, but my daughter convinced me to simply talk about dairy products."
I guess cows really are the living giving tree, aren't they?
Yeah, it was. Our appreciation for cows can be expressed in many ways. Some websites suggest you go out and give a cow a big hug and or a kiss.
Not
while it
very
might sound like fun, you don't have to go to extremes to enjoy this special day.
Yeah, it's not very practical in many areas to do that. And frankly, I have mixed feelings about dairy farming. But you know, whether or not it's about dairy, I think we can all appreciate the cow a little bit.
Yeah.
It's nice.
So that's just a thing that I really enjoyed. And then I'll give you one more. National Spumoni Day.
Yeah.
Spumoni is amazing ice cream that I grew up in Kentucky. We didn't have a lot of like fancy restaurants, but we did have Spaghetti Factory, the old Spaghetti Factory, where you can get some Spumoni. My favorite thing about this website is that August 21st is National Spumoni Day in the U.S. Did you know, interesting fact, Spumoni Day on November 13th?
That's interesting. They have their own Thanksgiving. They have their own Spumoni Day. They have their own Independence Day. I mean, Canada Day. That just happened like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
They have a different day to recognize their country than the United States. And I think that's terrific.
I do, too. Oh, boy. All right, Storm, what do we have?
Okay. This actually is probably going to feed into the discussion as well. This is three headlines under the block heading of direct assault on representative democracy. And first headline is Trump's Voter Fraud Commission wants to know voting history, party ID, and address of every voter in the United States. To which there is very direct resistance. Headline is state officials refuse to turn over voter roll data to Trump election panel. And I believe the current count is somewhere up around 30, maybe more. And then the third is an opinion piece headline, which is Trump's Voter Fraud Commission is itself an enormous voter fraud. And I actually believe that it's of a whole. And I don't mean like a masterful 21-level 3D chess way, but all these things do work together, and that this is one of the most dangerous ones to our democracy. If you start to intimidate voters, or even if you're just using this data to target people with great precision, there are many ways data can be used to heavily skew the tables, and some can say it has already been done. But it's something that, as much as the healthcare thing has been, has caught people's attention and got people to act, I feel and hope that if more action starts to come forth on this, that people will confront it in similar ways. So that's what we have for that one. And what kind of holiday? What kind of holiday can we put to that?
Well, I'm not going to make you guess, but if you think in your head about when you think National Clown Day is, just think about it.
National Clown Day.
And I'll tell you right now, National Clown Day is always the Saturday of International Clown Week.
Obviously. You know what? Every year, our house goes all out for that week. And I never think about the day. I just think about the week, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, In 1991, the group Clowns of America renamed National Clown Week to be International Clown Week, recognizing that there are many clowns around the world, and the event should be a worldwide celebration.
Well, yeah, I mean, clowns most certainly did not originate here in these United States. Italy, in particular, has a very deep clowning tradition. In fact, this doesn't have to do with Italy, but a lot of vaudeville and early acts really drew from the clowning traditions. There's a theory that the Marx Brothers, that the four of them each represents one of the classic types of clowns. And I'm not going to go any deeper down the clown rabbit hole than that.
Stay safe. Stay out of that hole.
But it's worthy of a holiday. Is there any other interesting tidbits about this holiday?
Yeah, of all of the holidays that I have read to you, this is the only one that was passed Congress as a joint resolution to officially recognize National Clown Week in 1970. So there you go.
Well, I guess we shouldn't be surprised that Congress would recognize a bunch of clowns. Professional courtesy, right?
Hey.
Try the veal. How about that airline food?
Am I right, everybody? Right? Yeah.
What is up with those clowns in Congress?
Oh, come on. I voted for a clown. I don't know. I'm not as good at these jokes as you are, Storm, but I appreciate your jokes.
Thank you for even intimating that I'm good at these jokes.
Yes.
So, yeah. I only have one more bit of tidbits. I have bits of tidbits.
Right.
And it's
give me that bit of tid.
It's resistance. And it's
yay.
Because there's so much crazy stuff going on. There's so much happening, and you can't focus on everything at once. And I wanted to frame this as resistance, and it is resistance to draconian immigration enforcement. And I think this might be a discussion for another time, that whole concept. But the headline is, and there's only one, judge halts deportation of more than 1,000 Iraqi nationals from the United States. And this is something that's happening now, that the Supreme Court made a ruling, idiotic in my amateur view, that basically said, yeah, you know what, some of that travel ban, Muslim ban can be enacted. And of course, the administration is interpreting that in the widest possible way, surprise, surprise, but already court cases are popping up and creating another quagmire out of it. So it's not great, but at least so far as the courts hold, it's not going to be the worst. So what do we have? What holiday? What blowout holidays of holidays of blowouts do you have?
July 13th, Barbershop Music Appreciation Day.
Oh, yes, Bebsqua. Sure, and the Sweet Adelaides, and that's terrific.
Yeah. It's the suggested ways to celebrate. It's a great day to listen to barbershop music or join a barbershop quartet.
You know what? That's a terrific thing to do. Back in my a cappella days, we did a number of gigs with barbershop choruses, and they're terrific. They are just really terrific. And if you go, you can be part of the huge chorus. Some of them are, you know, 100 or more, a couple hundred sometimes. And they'll have breakout groups where you'll have small subsections or even, you know, a lot of actual quartets. So whatever your style is, you'll find something. Check it out.
You should. And Storm, you said a word that, of course, I understood as Spebsqua, but maybe the listener may not know what that means. It's the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just assume that everybody knows that.
I'm pretty sure most people do. And so Storm?
What
is it? What is Spebsqua?
It's an organization that that preserves and encourages the singing of barbershop music. That's right. What it is. And
then Sweet Adelaides, is that but for ladies?
I think that the Sweet Adelaides fall under Spebsqua.
Okay.
But the Sweet Adelaides is the sort of the big brand for female barbershop singing. So if you are a lady and you want to sing with ladies, then that is a place you can go for that.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's an amazing sound. It's the ringing that you get, and with the Sweet Adelaide groups, it's a different sound when it rings, and it's seeing it live, hearing it live is you feel it in a way that you don't just listening to it. Much like watching someone, say, playing the drums or a cello is very different from just hearing it on a recording.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that. So is that it? Is that for what the what? Is that it? Are we whatted?
That's what the what. You know, I can go on and on. but trying to keep it to things that are either actionable now, like the healthcare thing, or things that may be up and coming, that may be actionable soon, or that provide perspective. So that's sort of my mission right
like
now.
Like celebrating Barbershop Day, for example.
Exactly. And that's coming up. And you got to get your shop on. Come on, do it.
Your shop on. I will say also, I was just reading that, and it seems to be a split in a gender binary. But I know a friend who's in like a special like trans and queer gender queer like choir in Boston.
Sure.
That will not allow that gender binary of alto the roles to define them, which is awesome. So.
Yeah. I do think that's awesome.
I love it.
And I don't know enough about Spebsqua and the Sweet Adelaides and Adelaides anymore.
Nobody
to know
does.
What the norms are. So
there's never going to be anybody who could possibly know enough about barbershop music, I think.
No, and there's a holiday coming up when you can explore it.
And also the news happened. All right, we've got a listener email or a listener question, Storm. So if you're ready for the next segment, and if you can prepare your voice, I'll stall for you a minute. Here we go. Get that voice ready. That's all the stalling you get. Here is a question from Graham.
All right. I haven't read this at all. This is the first time I'm reading this. So.
It's fine.
Do you have any recommendations for how folks who live in blue districts and or blue states can help? My Congress critters are always on our side, and I'd like to do more than just cheer them on. How can I best make an impact? Graham.
That was amazing.
Yeah, first reading.
Really, it was very good.
Give me three more shots.
Why don't we do this whole podcast in song?
I could do it, but I don't know if that would be wise. I think that's actually a great question. Angelazer, do you feel like you're in that situation? Are you deep blue?
We're on the national level. We are. I mean, Oregon's pretty split on the local level, but there's enough of a blue population density that we get our senators and like. One of our congressmen, Earl Blumenauer, like literally went to the same college as I did, and he wears a little bicycle pin and a bow tie, and he's a good guy. It doesn't feel like you have to lobby them necessarily. Although you and I have both talked about on this podcast about how it's important to keep encouraging and supporting via the phone calls.
It is important. And I think it's a great question, and that honestly, it hasn't been answered completely yet.
Yeah. So
much does happen at the local level, and I do think it's super important that it's not just treading water to support your Congress critters. And there are opportunities quite often to contact committee members or federal departments that are making big decisions. So as far as that type of activity where you're calling, there's always an opportunity, and it's super important. But I do feel that there is a space out there to have wider action. Something I've been toying with in my mind that is outside of my expertise and ability to pull off is something similar. I don't want to compare it. Never mind. I'm not going to compare it to that. But some sort of tour where people from blue states could travel to areas that are maybe more mixed, maybe they're deep red, and basically be ambassadors to folks there. Basically show up not in a confrontational way, but to say, hey, you know, we're the progressive liberals and we want to meet you. And I wonder what would happen, and I don't mean that in a, you know, I'm gonna crash two trains together way, but that I hate the concept or thought or idea that we're in a bubble. They're in a bubble. Bubbles are fragile things. And I don't believe that these tribes or these societies or these areas that we live in are fragile at all. But nor are they ossified. And maybe I'm naive, maybe I'm dumb, but I still believe that most of us in this country still share so much more than our disagreements. And that all we get is across the television, is in the media that we're staring at from one to, you know, the media of our choice. And that if a significant amount of people showed up not in a alt-right, we're going to go to the most liberal place so we can get a rise out of them and punch people kind of way, but a genuine, here we are, you know. And honestly, let's discuss if that would help. Would that hurt? I don't know. But it's something that, as I do landscaping, goes through my mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
that's definitely those face-to-face confrontations. And after I read that book, The Strangers in Their Own Land, kind of where she went to deep south Louisiana and talked to folks who were Tea Partiers back in the Tea Party days, from the perspective of being like a liberal woman from Berkeley, it just made me think about like what happens if we're actually face to face. So I think that's interesting, Storm.
Yeah, and those type of things too. And I sort of feel like I failed to do that this past weekend, where I was someplace where I feel like there probably were a lot of people who had very different opinions than I did about politics, but it did not seem like a setting where, you know, I should talk politics. You know what? I was right about that.
Especially when you're working.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not on the menu. But that sort of thing.
I would say in answer to this question, donating to campaigns of people in other states where they are opposed and it's a redder area is a thing you can do, like tracking campaigns that could be big deals.
Let me find out. Actually, we did a donation to it, but they aggregate donations, and any amount makes a difference. So no worries if you can't donate, but know that if you don't have a lot, that they aggregate it, and their mission is to identify those candidates who are progressive, have the best shot of actually making a difference. Reva, not full out progressive, not crazy pants. Talk a bit. I'm gonna try to find this site.
Yeah. While you find that site, I will also say that there are organizations. If you're interested in helping, like even maybe not a donation way, but a spreading the word way, or they have probably action points you can take in specific areas, like for example, trans rights or environmental issues. That there is always work to be done that doesn't directly deal with a political candidate, but still on a more local and probably more impactful individual level, there's stuff you can do and talk about and give to.
Okay, I'm like, oh no, there it is. It's actblue.com.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right? It's pretty terrific. Or other organizations. We've donated frequently now to the ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, these organizations that are acting, particularly in the courts. There are a lot of them out there. So, and all of it helps. All of it helps.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, one of the things I was going to say that I don't think goes with a donation, but there are people like, there are trans folks in prison who are like frequently either put in solitary confinement or in the area of the wrong gender that you can like write to. And there are all kinds of folks that are even in a worse position because of the current political climate that you can help even without spending money. So,
yeah,
that would be my recommendation too.
And that's terrific because I do feel like there are these huge continents that are moving and that there are a lot of people that have been heavily impacted already and continue to be, and it gets worse, especially as people fall more and more into this us and them mindset and creating the other, and trans folk in particular seem like they are a very vulnerable community.
Yeah. Great question, Graham. Thank you so much. And anybody else who wants to send us a question, please feel free to do that on Twitter at So What Do We Do Pod, or at ask.fm/So What Do We Do Pod, where you can ask a question even anonymously if you want, and Storm will read it in one of his patented Storm voices.
You can even request a voice. I'll try anything.
Ooh.
Almost anything. I won't try anything that is disparaging. I will not do ethnic stereotypes. But within the bounds of a reasonable code of conduct, I will try anything.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
That's a challenge to you, everybody. Come up with a good question and a good voice. So let's take a quick musical break and come right back.
Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Storm, tell us about our sponsor.
Well, Angelazer, this week, So What Do We Do is sponsored by FactZero.
At FactZero.com, you can send 5 free faxes a day, up to 3 pages each, to anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, including to your elected representatives, governors just added, and a bunch of other folks. So check that out.
Click the Fax Congress button, that is F-A-X Congress button, on FactZero.com to simply and easily fax, that's F-A-X, your representative or senator or governor. The information is pre-filled for you. It's so simple.
For additional faxing needs, you can choose to pay $1.99 for fax or for longer faxes if you want to send more than 5 per day.
Thanks, Fax. That's FAXZero.com.
So, Storm, this week's discussion topic, I was just so inspired by our president tweeting a video of him punching CNN that I wanted to talk about journalism. It's a thing I think about a lot. I don't even know I've talked about it before. And I'm just going to ramble, and please feel free to interrupt me or respond.
That's cool. You have an actual degree in this, I believe. So please, please discourse.
So when I studied political science in college, one of the things that I specifically looked at was democracies and how hard it is to create a democracy and to maintain a democracy. Mm-hmm. And the United States is always looked at like as this wonderful confluence of, you know, we started so I guess, quote unquote, sophisticated coming from Britain, where they had already established a government and we had resources and, I guess, thanks to our exploitation of labor, resources and all of this stuff. But we were able to create a democracy, and it seems like, man, that's magic. And then now it seems like maybe that's not sticking around in the way that we thought it would, just keep getting better. Because it seems like there are places where you're building a democracy and it just keeps getting more and more consolidated and more democratic and more free for everybody. And rights get better and more groups get incorporated in and whatever. It just doesn't seem to be the case right now. And so I started trying to think about, like, why. And one of the main variables I always looked at was free press, and how it's, if you don't have a free press to, like, hold your government accountable, you don't, you can't have a democracy, because there's nobody to sort of mediate between the government and its people in a neutral way. And then I was like, but why wouldn't we want a free press? And why do people, like, not trust journalists? And why do journalists not, or quote unquote journalists, not have to stay, I guess, accountable to ethics? All right, Storm, do you want to say any words just to break up me ranting?
I can discourse. I do. It's something I think about. I've never studied it.
As
far as democracy itself, I always remember that it was no sure thing that this country was organized the way it was. It was the product of compromise where everybody bought in because they believed it would be in their best interests. So I think the same can be said for the free press, that up until this point, everybody felt like it was in their best interest to have this accountability. But it feels like really with the advent of Fox News in particular, right-wing media, all the right-wing radio, of creating this other realm, that quite a few people felt like, you know what, I don't want to hear things framed that way, because this is my opinion, that when you frame it that way, it's to my disadvantage and someone else's advantage. And that there, if you actually look at things factually and truthfully, you can't really justify a lot of the actions that are being taken. So what you do is you create another reality, which may not really conform to actual reality. But if you have enough people you can get to believe it, or who wish to be hypnotized, the hypnotism requires consent to some degree.
I think it's a bummer that the alternate realities we create aren't sci-fi realities. They're just full of lies.
The better ones are. I still believe in that Star Trek future, you know.
Oh, gosh, me too.
Yeah, where, you know, it's basically a world of plenty where people are not really required to supply the things that people need to live. And I actually kind of feel like we could be on the verge of that. And then the question becomes, if you have that situation and you don't need everybody, or maybe you don't even need anybody to produce the stuff, then what do you organize society around? Anyway, that's much bigger than the question of journalism. So let's bring it on back. Let's bring it on back.
So you mentioned, like, right-wing radio, Fox News, and I was remembering things vaguely, and then did some research on it about something called the Fairness Doctrine, which was an FCC rule that required broadcasters to air contrasting views on a certain topic. So if you were, you know, licensed by the FCC to air, you had to give both sides of the story, basically. And then it had been upheld by the Supreme Court, even though obviously it's got a little bit of free speech issues involved. But then in 1987, it was taken out. And people, mostly Democrats, have tried to reinstate it since then, saying specifically, like, this is a thing that allows right-wing commentary to go challenged or to be presented as fact, and then that is shot down by right-wing commentary. Mm-hmm. One of the things I read was like, it's basically affirmative action for Democrats, which to me is just like, no, that's truth. Truth is not affirmative action for Democrats. That makes me angry.
Well, except you can say truth is fuzzier than facts are.
Yeah, but that's fair.
Yeah, but I get you. I get which way your wind is headed. Yes.
Yeah, so I it was actually a thing that I was thinking about because of there's the weird thing where like when a debate about climate change is happening,
it always
makes me crazy that people have to like air an anti-climate change, like, well, we have to hear from people who don't think this exists, even though it does seem to be supported by facts. And I was like, is that like a law that somebody's using? And then I realized the fairness doctrine was a different thing than I thought it was.
Yeah.
But after this election, there was a big discussion about among some scholars and stuff about the fairness doctrine and how because like 40% of people who voted for Trump get most of their news from Fox News, like that the polarization stuff may come this way. Anyways, I don't have a solution. I just thought it was interesting and I learned a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. Like even if it were possible to reinstate the fairness doctrine, if I don't know, I still do have mixed feelings about it. That's the thing. I'm super progressive and liberal on social issues, but I'm not necessarily as progressive on some things. And one of them are measures like this. Like I do feel like regulations, by and large, are a good thing when they're crafted well and implemented well. And I don't remember so well as I was, you know, not quite as intellectually conscious when I back in the 80s. I was a dumb high school kid. But that I only imagine that part of the rage against that doctrine was it may have swung too far to the left, and that people who had contrasting views felt like they weren't really being given a fair shake. And I think that a lot of people still feel that way. And in some cases, they're probably right. So how do you craft something that will serve the great goal of making sure that there is honest discourse in all corners, or at least not something that is propaganda? And at this point, I really do believe that Fox News in particular is propaganda for the White House, but the GOP as well. Yeah. I mean, when they're the only outlet that is basically the conduit for information, what else is that? Propaganda. So
it's not journalism. I mean, I will say also that Obama didn't support reinstating the fairness doctrine. Like, it's not a split down the line progressive issue. It's I just thought it was interesting as a way to kind of explain how polarization happened, but not before, or that it was a thing that was increasing of late, I guess.
Oh, for sure. If the fairness doctrine were in place and enforced, that media could not metastasize the way it has in creating these rigid walls around people. And again, you know, these are folks that if they chose, it's not like they do not have access to other news sources. So it's not like, you know, we live in an antenna world and you can only receive Fox News. So for that part of it, you can say, well, you know, you choose. Though, of course, there's great social pressure. I thought it was interesting in traveling this week in the airport and in general, I didn't see as much news on the monitors. And when I did, it was CNN. And I'm only guessing that, you know, and I think that's a battle that's going to happen is, you know, if Fox News is on somewhere, if MSNBC is on somewhere, that can become a flashpoint. And I was in an airport lounge and they simply didn't have the news on it at all. And I think that's probably why.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess I am always in this state of like, how are people okay living in a world where they don't know what facts are, or that they might be being lied to and they don't care, or they're okay with living with this, like, alternative facts, like, who knows what's real, like, kind of situation?
I think a lot of people, regardless of their political views, simply, it's not that they don't care, but their personal bandwidth, they just don't have or don't allocate the time. Or they just hear from their friends, their families, whoever's around them. And
Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook. And as far as TV, we do it at home, put TV on, it's just in the background, and it becomes a groupthink thing.
Yeah, I think, to me, I think that they're really, if you call yourself news and you call yourself a journalist, then you should hold yourself to a standard, kind of. And I was looking through, there's like a code of ethics for journalism, but it isn't like rules, and it isn't like we allow some people to be called journalists because they are accountable to what they say and we don't, which makes sense. Like, there's no law, which there shouldn't be, which is sort of why it's a problem. And there's no good way to fund journalism, and there's no that exists right now, and there's no good way to share facts that isn't an equally good way to share just confirmation bias stuff. So it makes me feel better to kind of think about the reasons behind why crazy things happen, I guess.
Ultimately, journalism only works because people trust the people that are doing that journalism and agree that it's in their best interest. Like, in some of the discussions about compare and contrast with the Nixon era and what happened with Watergate, it was a different world where people did not question that the media's motives were simply to tell the story as best they can and hold and speak truth to power. But there has been a very concerted effort to muddy that, and it's been successful to the point that the president of the United States can tweet a short video of him beating up an avatar of CNN, and maybe 40% of the country stands up and cheers. And ultimately, you can't force people. You can't force people to buy in to an independent arbiter. And again, bring it all the way back, I believe it's because some people just don't believe that this truth that comes out from all of these facts is to their benefit, or that they feel like there are other things that have been ignored, and you've ignored me, so I'm just going to ignore you. I'm just, whatever you say, I'm just going to ignore it because you've been ignoring me. Doesn't matter if we both go down. I don't know if that's cynical or pessimistic, but yeah, and I don't think that, or it's strong and powerful because it's not an organ of the government. They often call it the fourth estate, in that it has a very important role. But much like the government itself, without the consent of the people, it doesn't work.
Yeah, if it's the people that matter. Blah, blah. In my head, there's like little avatars of like the people and money and the government and the press, and like, depending on who is on what side of a line of trust, really affects what the spread of information and views is going to be. I don't think the government and the press need to have a amiable relationship for the press to work, but the people really need to trust it in order for it to work.
And I think it's part of the issue too. Is right now there isn't, in all people's minds, a sense that there is a single the people, or that there are some people who are the people and other people who are not the people.
Yeah. And money definitely creates a complicated relationship with that as well.
For sure. And you might know more about this than I do, but it seems like there used to be, of course, there have been media empires for a long time, but most often when city newspapers were powerful, they were often owned by bigwigs in that city who genuinely cared about that city of course, they still needed to make a profit, but they could at that time. Technology hadn't made it so that you couldn't turn a buck on a newspaper.
Yeah.
And that since that's no longer true, it's these interests that are much more directly beholden to money. And you see what's happening at NBC News right now, and I think it's just sinister. I'm not even going to get into that right now.
Yeah.
But that money can have a great influence over editorial decisions, for example, who your news spokespeople are going to be. And
yeah,
you don't have that if you have people who maybe they're not completely altruistic, and I don't think that most ever were, but that at least there was some sense that there was value in having something that was at least attempting to be an arbiter of sorts through providing truth and speaking to power.
Yeah. All that to say, maybe subscribe to a newspaper, maybe. I don't know.
In fact, if I don't know, is it time for a serving suggestion?
It sure is.
All right. Well, I'm going to jump to number two.
Let's do it.
Number two serving suggestion is to support media outlets of any sort who you feel are doing a great job of reporting, investigating, and generally speaking truth to power. And in general, with those outlets, hold them to the same standard, even higher. Mm-hmm. Consume media and commercials critically. Don't just take it for granted. Wash over your brain, your head, and that can be hard to do a lot of the time. But that's important. I've actually subscribed to a number of, and I can where I am right now, in my life, several different websites, and I know that the New York Times and The Guardian in particular have been able to ramp up their operations quite a bit because of the increased volume of subscriptions.
Yeah. I will say, even from the inside, like getting clicks on an article, how ridiculously stupid that seems, will help. and I remember, even when I was covering, city council nonsense, they were trying to get us to write for clicks. So if you, share an article that you think is good and it gets a lot of views, then the pragmatic money side of the newspaper will be excited about supporting the investigative reporting side of the newspaper. So that's cool. It works. It sounds dirty, but it's real.
No, for sure. And also, we all hate video pre-rolls, and not going to tell you when you go to a site and it starts blaring all the stuff at you that you shouldn't click away and curse it. But if it's reasonable, you went to see a video that is important to you on a news site, maybe watch it. Can't hurt. All right. Ready for another one?
I am so ready for a serving suggestion.
All right. This is ACHA, Stay on Target. This is, of course, the legislation that the Senate is trying to pass to match the House to eviscerate health care. And this is something we've covered in the past, in case you're a first-time listener or have forgotten. There are a number of resources that can help you apply pressure to your senator, whether they are for or against. And just a couple of them, TrumpCare10.org. We'll put this link up. FiveCalls.org, and of course, VaxZero.com are just some of the places you can go to get in touch with your senators and governors. There are ways to, they're part of this situation too, to make the noise and make sure that, literally tens of millions of people don't get thrown off of insurance, and some number of them will die from that. I mean, that's just a statistical fact.
Yeah.
So that's a serving suggestion.
All right.
All right. I have one that really relates to the rise of authoritarianism, and what do we do about it? This is a video from 2013 from a TEDx, and it's by Erica Chenoweth about the effectiveness of nonviolent civil resistance.
Oh.
And it's terrific. We'll put the link up. And this, oh, and by the way, these serving suggestions, many of them are from Patrick Rothfuss's activism newsletter. So
yay.
I didn't do all of this groundwork by myself. No, I didn't. This video in particular. I'm so glad I watched it. It's a little weird and sad because the context for it was in other nations, but almost everything that she talks about can be directly applied to what's happening now. And it's also just a good discourse on that effectiveness, why it works. And in particular, she was talking about its effectiveness as opposed to military insurgencies and that sort of thing. But Indeed. Even taking that out of it, it's pretty terrific and dare say encouraging. One of the findings was that if you engage just 3%, as little as 3% of the population to actually be committed to taking action, nonviolent action, that it can be the difference. So please watch that.
Yeah.
And, oh, I see, Angelazer, you put one of the things we talked on here.
Yeah, ActBlue, which we talked about donating to campaigns where they are needed.
Yep. So if you can do that, that's terrific.
Yeah, so thank you so much for listening to So What Do We Do, everybody. Thank you, Storm, for talking to me about stuff.
Oh, thank you, Angelazer, as ever. This is always a cheering thing.
Yeah, I hope you have a good Cow Appreciation Day if I don't see you. What's coming up? Independence Day is today.
Happy America. Oh, that was the thing I wanted to say towards the top, was despite everything right now, I feel like patriotism, and I don't mean, we're the best, America, kill everything, not that.
Yeah.
But a sense that at its core, there is the potential for greatness in how our government was conceived and how it operates at its best.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the reason that I fly an American flag outside of my house every day, and also have a lawn sign that greets immigrants, that these things are not contradictions, and that we can be great, and we can continue to be great, but it takes work, and it shouldn't. That those type of phrases shouldn't be owned by one side or the other.
Yay. I love that.
So happy Independence Day.
Happy Independence Day, everybody. Listen to Independent Woman this week. Find us on Twitter and Facebook and at SoWhatDoWeDoPod.com. Thank you for people talking to us on the internet, including Shell H, Clara Kelly, Julie Coulter, and Lisa M, who used Fact Zero this week to contact our rep, which is awesome, and posted the whole thing. I retweeted it. It's cool. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us and for listening. Tell us what your favorite holiday is. Tell us what you're up to. We would love to hear from you. I installed Twitter back on my phone so I can monitor it regularly.
Yeah, so give us those questions, and if there's a voice you want to hear for your question, I will give it a shot.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.